Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. The blood of Jesus is powerful. It's powerful. If you have your copy of God's Word with you this morning, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. We're going to take a pause on our sermon series through the book of Hebrews, and we're going to look specifically and talk about the resurrection of Jesus today. Here in 1 Peter, he starts it off and he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning, Lord. As we have read and as we have sung, we are just so grateful for the resurrection of Jesus. We're so grateful for the power of the cross. But Lord, as we come to the preaching of your word today, God, I pray that you will allow me and help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion. And God, I pray that you will just speak through me, Lord. And I'm just a vessel, a mouthpiece for you this morning, Lord, to proclaim your truth and your gospel and nothing but your word and your word alone. God, I just pray that you will clear our minds of all distractions and help us to focus on your word this morning. For God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope. Why can we have hope? Our passage ultimately answers this for us today, and I hope to demonstrate that to you on this Easter Sunday of why the resurrection of Jesus is so critical to our faith and to the hope that we have. But before we begin, I think we need to really understand and kind of define hope. What is hope? What does it mean to hope? And so if you look up the definition of hope in the Merriam-Webster dictionary or any other dictionary, I'm certain that you will find several definitions that define hope or several different ways hope is defined based on the way that it's used. Hope can be a desire in something. It can be a desire that something that you're looking forward in the future. It can be a hope, a desire that someone is hoping for a job promotion or hoping for a new car or hoping for this or hoping for that. Hope can be the expectation that something is going to happen in the future. I hope to be invited to the party. I hope to go there. I hope that my spouse is going to get home from work. Along with several other slight differences, and while all these differences are not wrong, they're all ways in which people hope for things. But the thing we must ask is, what is biblical hope? Because biblical hope is different and even better than the hope of things in this world. Biblical hope, as I read one time, is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. So a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. There is the desire, and then there is confident expectation that it's going to happen. It's not a cross your fingers type of thing. We're not crossing our fingers hoping it's going to happen. No, we have full and complete confidence expecting that it's going to happen. But why? Why can we fully expect it? Why can we have complete and confident hope? It all comes down to this day, some 2,000 years ago. We can have confident, expected hope because Christ is risen. Because Christ has been resurrected from the grave, we can have hope. God made promises over and over and over so many times in the Old Testament, and every one of them would be fulfilled. And in those promises, He also promised a Messiah. He promised a Savior. He promised that He, the Savior, would overcome sin and death. And this Savior, Jesus, this Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come. He would live here and then He would be crucified. He died. The Savior, dead, put in a tomb. A dead Savior means no hope, right? But church, the grave could not hold Him. Death could not keep Him. And the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, you know what? He was raised from the grave. And now we can have full and complete hope because our Savior lives. We can't hope in something temporary. If you do, it won't last long because this old world and anything that we hope for in this world is eventually going to pass away. It's going to go on. We can't hope in death. We can only hope in life. And our hope rests in the resurrection of Jesus, and we can have a confident expectation that we, as Christians, as believers, are born again, that we have an imperishable inheritance awaiting for us, and that by God's power, our salvation is forever secure, forever being guarded. Therefore, today we're going to look at and see three results of the resurrection for those that believe. Three results of the resurrection for those that believe. And the first result of the resurrection that we see is believers are born again. Believers are born again through the resurrection. So I'm going to read with me again verse 3 here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And then what does it say? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This phrase, born again, is a reference to the regeneration or the rebirth of a person who believes in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, Jesus teaches Nicodemus that one cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Nicodemus, you know, questioning and wondering, like confused, like, how does a person born again? He asked Jesus. Jesus replies and says, unless one is born of water, a natural birth, and unless one is born of spirit, a spiritual birth, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. To be born again is to be saved. And that only comes through the Spirit. Now, there's just a couple of things we really need to discuss here from this passage. And the first is that our rebirth, our salvation, is according to His great mercy. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. And so we see this. Our salvation rests only in the mercy of God. It depends solely on the mercy of God. God, in His goodness, in His love, He has reached down from heaven, and by His mercy, He has saved us. He's caused us to be born again, in the words of Peter here. There isn't an ounce of anything good within us that has caused God to save us. There isn't anything we can do. We can't earn it. We can't live good enough. We can't hope in ourselves enough to be saved. The only thing we really contribute to the salvation of our souls is our sin. Everything else relies solely on God. He draws us. He calls us, He convicts us, and by His great mercy, He saves us. He causes us to be born again, and we respond and we say, "Lord God, I believe." I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that You are a holy God, and that because I am not, because I am a sinful human being, You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, a sacrificial death. That You were buried in a tomb, and on the third day, You were resurrected, overcoming sin and death. And because I believe God, and I believe in Jesus and what He did, I'm repenting of my sins, and I will seek to live a holy life as You were holy, God. And it all of it stems from His great mercy. It is by God's great mercy that He sent His Son. It's by God's great mercy that Jesus died on the cross. It's by God's mercy that Jesus was raised from the grave. Our salvation is according to His great mercy. Secondly, it was by God's mercy that we are born again to a living hope. A living hope. Here we are, we're back to this word hope, right? We as Christians, we as believers, as people who are following Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, we have living hope. You know why we can have that living hope? It's through the resurrection of Jesus. It's because He lives. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. Yes, Jesus was buried in a tomb. And yes, He was raised from the dead. He is alive. I'm reminded of the angel speaking to the women there at the tomb in that early morning. He is not here, for He has risen. Church, we have a living hope because our Savior lives. You can't place your hope in something that's dead, right? You can't place your hope in something that's going to die. But you can place your hope in Jesus, the One who died for our sins and our salvation and now lives for all of eternity because He has risen. We can have hope, expected, confident hope that Jesus, our Savior, will live for eternity and He will never die again. We have no hope if Christ stays in the grave. But praise be to God, He didn't. And now we have eternal hope. Maybe you're here today and you are thinking about your own life, wondering about your own self and this idea of being born again, and you're wondering what it means. What does that mean? And maybe you're wondering about this hope that I've been speaking of, the living hope, and you're beginning to see how hopeless you are when it comes to your life. About how when you die, there's nothing you're looking forward to afterward. You're just hopeless in what's coming. Friend, I want to tell you today that the only hope we have in this life and in our death is Jesus Christ. And it comes through Him being raised from the grave. According to God's great mercy. Friend, God is an awesome God. He's an almighty God. He is a holy and righteous God. But we as human beings, we have transgressed against Him and His holiness and His righteousness. As Romans 3:23 teaches, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, because we have failed to give God glory He so deserves, and because we are not holy, we cannot be in relationship with the holy and righteous God. We're condemned to death and condemned to His wrath. We are condemned to hell eternally, spiritually separated from Him. Eternally having God as our judge. Never in relationship with Him as Father. But God seeing us. God looking down, seeing us in our helpless state, seeing us in our helpless condition. He had mercy on us. He had compassion on us. He had pity on us. And as John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." I actually have it here, I think. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." By God's love, He looked at us and said, "I am going to send My Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Friend, I want you to know today you can have eternal life. That you can be reborn. That you can be saved. And it all comes through repenting of sins, repenting of your unbelief, and believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that what He did here on this earth was for your sins and your salvation. Friend, you have a response to make this morning. There's one of two ways you can respond. You can either respond by saying no thanks and just leave here today knowing that you are condemned to God's wrath, that you're condemned to spending eternity in hell because you chose not to believe. Or you can respond by repenting of your sins, believing in God for salvation. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. He says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." He goes on, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." If that is you this morning, if you feel God calling you to Himself, drawing you to Himself, convicting you of your sin and of your hopelessness, then I just want to encourage you right here, right now, right where you are sitting. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to pray a special prayer, but simply just say, "God, I have sinned against You. And for that, I am sorry. I am choosing today to repent of my sins and in this moment choosing to believe in You as Savior and Lord." And if you truly mean it, and if you truly believe it, the Bible says, we just read, you will be saved. And you will be born again to a living hope. All because Christ has been resurrected. Church, it is by His great mercy that we have been born again to a living hope. And it all comes through the resurrection of Jesus. And because we are born again as children of God, we are given an imperishable inheritance. So this leads us to our second result of the resurrection. Believers are given an inheritance through the resurrection. Believers are given an inheritance through the resurrection of Jesus. So look with me again at verse 4 here. And then to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Those that are born again, they will receive an inheritance. We all know what the word inheritance means. Inheritance comes when, sadly, parents pass away and pass down their possessions, their belongings. But what is this inheritance that Peter is speaking of? Does this mean that God is one day going to die and we're going to receive all His things being passed down to us? Absolutely not. God is eternal. He's going to eternally be living. So what is this inheritance that the Bible speaks of? The inheritance of believers is simply our eternal home in heaven. Our inheritance as believers is our eternal home in heaven. It's being kept there. The word inheritance, it's used all across the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Often we see it in the Old Testament used to describe the land of Canaan for the people of Israel. Canaan was the promised land, and it was to be their inheritance. And then upon them getting there, the land was divided up accordingly, and it was their inheritance. That's what they got. It was promised to them. Israel would get that inheritance. They would live there for a long time, but eventually, you know what happened to this inheritance? It went away. It would perish. It would be defiled, and it would fade away. Church, believer, we have an inheritance. An inheritance that is not like Canaan. An inheritance that is heavenly. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And it's being kept in heaven for us. Never to be removed, never to be taken away. It will never end, never perish, never die. It is an immortal and incorruptible inheritance. But that isn't all. Our inheritance is undefiled. It's not going to be tainted with. It is not with fault. It is pure and sinless, and it will never change. You make one of your parents mad, they might just cut you out of the wheel, right? But you know what? God in His goodness, despite us still sinning against Him after salvation, you know what He doesn't do? He doesn't cut us out. Our inheritance is still there. Still there. Because it's imperishable. It's untainted with. It's undefiled. And lastly, our inheritance is unfading. It will never fade away, no matter how much time goes away and how much time goes by, no matter how long it takes us to get there. I'm getting all tongue-tied here. No matter how long it takes us to get there, we will never lose our inheritance in heaven. It is unlike the things of this world where all things here are going to rust and fade away. But our inheritance, church, our heavenly inheritance will never perish, will never be defiled, and will always, always be there because it's never going to fade away. And this means that we can have hope. Living hope. The people of Israel, their hope was in God to take them to the land of Canaan, and God did that. Due to their sin, due to their mistakes, the land was no more. But church, we have a living hope because our inheritance is not of this world. It is in the very place where God and His glory resides, heaven. And because Christ has been resurrected from the dead, there will come a day in the future when all of His followers, when all of His people will be taken to live with Him in glory. To live in the inheritance they have been given. And we can live with trust, with hope, with full confidence and expectation that there is an eternal inheritance waiting for us there. And it's all because of God's power guarding us through faith. This brings us to our third and final result. Believers are preserved by God's power through the resurrection. Believers are preserved by God's power through the resurrection. So read with me verse 5 here again. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Before going any farther, I just want to talk about this word preserved that I'm using. We don't see the word specifically here in verse 5, do we? But we get this idea that by God's power being guarded, we are being preserved, right? We're being kept. The idea with this being guarded here is actually more specifically related to a guard keeping a prisoner in prison. Does that make sense? He's guarding the prison gates, keeping them there. But God's not guarding us and keeping us in prison, is He? No, He's not doing that. No, He is guarding us through faith. He's preserving us. We often use this word preserve when we talk about preserving foods. I can remember both of my grandmothers having gardens, and they would can probably 100 or more jars of food each year. And I would be stuck over there shelling peas and breaking green beans and shucking corn and everything else in order to, so that they could can the food, right? Both of their basements before they passed away was just filled with probably thousands of jars of canned food that they have built up over the years. It looked like they were preparing for the end of the world or something, I don't know. But they did that so that we'd have food for many years to come, right? They preserved the food. So the same idea is meant here in verse 5. God, by His power, is preserving His people. He is guarding His people through faith for salvation. The only difference is that food that my grandparents made and preserved, it will eventually become unpreserved, right? It will eventually go bad. We had a can in our closet a few days ago that we used, and I was a bit skeptical when I put it in the pot. All right? But it still tasted great, let me tell you. Still tasted really good. But God's people, we're going to be preserved for all of eternity. For all of eternity, we will forever be preserved. We will forever, by God's power, be guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And all it means is that God is the one who saves us, God is the one who keeps us, and God is the one who preserves us. We can't save ourselves, we can't preserve ourselves. We can't do anything to help ourselves to salvation, and we can't help anything to help ourselves to eternity in heaven. It is only through God and His power that we are saved, that we are preserved, and at the coming of Christ's return, salvation will be culminated, completed, because we will go to our eternal inheritance. Do you want to know something? Without the resurrection of Jesus, there's no inheritance. And there would be no preservation. If Jesus died on that cross and then was never raised from the grave, then that means when we die, we will die unpreserved. But Jesus, in all His glory, was raised from the dead, overcoming sin and death, so that on that last day, we too have believed in Jesus and have been preserved by God's power. We will be wholly and completely saved. If you're here today and you truly believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and I'm really putting a lot of emphasis here on truly, Because only those that have truly believed, those who have not believed in vain, you will truly be saved. You will truly be preserved. You will truly have your inheritance in heaven. And you can rest in the comfort of knowing that by God's power, His almighty power, nothing can separate you from Him. Nothing can erase your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing can take away your eternal inheritance in heaven. Rest in knowing that God has you. Today, in our sermon, we have seen three results of the resurrection. Believers are born again. Those that believe are born again through the resurrection. Those that believe are given an inheritance through the resurrection. And that those that believe are preserved by God's power. Church, we have a living hope through the cause of the resurrection of Jesus and how He overcame sin and death. And I just want to close with Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? If you can see it, there's no point in hoping in it, right? Can we see heaven? We can't, right? Can we see our eternal inheritance? We can't see it. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Believer, we have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have been given an eternal inheritance, one that is safely secure in the power of God. Therefore, as verse 25 says, we wait for it with patience. Live your life knowing and waiting patiently with a sure and confident expectation that one day, because Christ has risen from the grave, you too will rise from your grave and be in eternity with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in heaven. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus to die on the cross. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Thank you so much for having mercy on us, Lord, and saving us. For regenerating us, Lord. For giving us life. Giving us living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, may we forever remember that we have an eternal inheritance as believers, and that you, by your power, you are protecting it, you are guarding us, you are preserving us. By faith. God, help us to walk all our days patiently waiting for the most glorious inheritance, the most glorious hope that we have, heaven. I pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.